Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Tan Tanner. Thank you so much for tuning in again. I have finally a guest again. I've been doing this for so long alone and I hated it. But now one of my friends has graced me to go through the technological mess of podcasting from afar together. So I'm joined by Lisa today.
Hi. Hello.
Thank you so much for being for taking your time, because you know, I don't know about you guys, but Belgium is about to have exams, and Lisa is a smarty pants, so she took extra classes this year even though she already graduated.
It's not even like that, but okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Do you want to introduce yourself again?
So my name's Lisa. What's up? As Aline said, I'm doing kind of like this semester break after my bachelor's, where I'm taking some classes again because I'm trying to do a pivot and I'm going to do my master's in something else. So that's me. I keep on like, just for everyone to know. Oh, just so everyone can know though, like I keep on throwing up peace signs because I feel awkward, but I realize it's a podcast and no one can see me. Anyways, I digress.
Like no one can see. Yeah.
Oh man. Anyways.
I was about to say we love an educated woman, but
it's a struggle sometimes, okay?
We're all trying our best.
There we go. Oh, there man. We go.
Yeah. So I invited you today because you're one of many, many friends that I have that, you know, grew up kind of multiculturally and kind of all like, especially, I mean, you're one of the people who definitely, I think, moved the most that I know of. And I kind of wanted to talk about how, you know, culture is influencing us, and also how it shapes us, and kind of just also, you know, the cultural dilemma or confusion that you go through when you grow up kind of multicultural, or like even like for me in my case, it's like I grew up far away from my own culture, like in a complete different environment, but my parents are both from Turkey, and you know, for you it's a bit different as well, if you want to
Does everyone know your story though? I don't know if you want to go first. I don't know if it's been talked about before.
No, but I'll throw it in there. It's okay. You can start.
Okay. Yeah. I come from like what they call an interracial couple. So my dad is Caucasian from Belgium, and my mom is Chinese from Taiwan. They got married in Belgium, but shortly afterwards we moved a few times, and in the end I spent 10 years in the United States, and then when I was 15 I moved quote unquote back to Belgium, but I don't really have much recollection of Belgium before, and so yeah, it's been a mashup of this Euro Asian American vibes.
Do you like I'm gonna just like totally smooth transition here, but jumping right into it. But like, do you like? I think this is a very easy question, but I feel like for some people it's harder. Like, where do you feel most connected to? Like, which part? Like, do you feel more connected to Belgium because you are here now, or do you feel like more American or more Taiwanese?
For a very long time, when I was 15, I struggled a lot because when I moved by myself back to Belgium because my parents divorced, and I like quote unquote left my mom behind because she was going to Taiwan, and then I moved in with my dad after many years of not really having a connection with him. So it was quite a hard time in my life because it's not like we were expats who all moved together, and I went to international school where I did the IB program and blah, blah, blah. I went to a local school in the middle of fucking nowhere. Needless to say, like, I mean, you're already as a teenager, everyone's kind of lost, you know, and everyone's trying to fit in. But if you're already given like the space to fit in elsewhere, it just didn't work for me. It was really rough for me the first 2-3 years. And so I really clung on to my American identity because I kind of mm-hmm. like made it also like it was like not only like my reasoning but my shields, like I don't fit in because I'm American, and because I'm American you guys don't understand me. And it was like my protective layer of like, it's not me, it's because
yeah
you guys don't understand me because I'm American. And I kind of had like this hierarchy thing, which is kind of gross thinking about how now I'm older and understand the facade that America is, but I digress. So as a kid, I mean, as a high schooler, let's say, I really clung on to that idea. And for me, it was also the easiest to claim because the way I look, so I look Euro-Asian, but if I just say I'm American, no one's going to question it. They're just going to be like, okay, yes, I've heard America's a melting pot. It would be rude to ask for clarification. That's it. But if I say I'm Belgian or if I say I'm Taiwanese, people are gonna be like, "What? No, where are you really from?" Like, people are gonna like question me more. Mm-hmm. But now that I've gone to like an international like major in university and stuff like that, the lines have become more blurred, and I kind of more so identify myself based off of the other person as a point of reference. Mm-hmm. So if they say, you know, they're from Germany, I'll be like, oh, I live here. Like, my parents are living here, or like, you know, whatever it is. Like, if they say, oh yeah, I'm Japanese, I'll be like, oh, my mom's Taiwanese. Yeah. So it's just changed to accommodate others for some reason, but it's just my easiest way out, it seems like. So,
yeah, no, I get that, because, you know, people feel always entitled to, like, you know, sometimes there is a time and place to discuss these things and then it's fine, but I feel like a lot of people feel entitled to like ask you for your backstory, and I'm like, do I really have to?
Yeah, especially so ask me before they ask my name, and I'm just like, okay.
This is so, you know, okay, this has nothing to do with that really, but like, you know what's funny, that is that people always think I am American because of my accent. And I, that's so funny to me, because Americans have stopped me on the street and they were like, are you like, oh, a fellow American?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's like kind of the opposite, where I have to explain that I'm not from America. Like, I think that's very interesting, because it's so, it's what you said, like, I'm also guilty of that. Like, when you said you're American, I'm like, yeah. Like, why would I question that, you know? I mean, I'm generally not. If you would have said you're Taiwanese, I would also not be like, but you look mixed though, like, you
know? Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, now I'm wondering if you said you're American because I sound American, like when we first met.
No, I mean, I was very used to a lot of internationals having this more transatlantic accent. To me, you don't sound very typical American as well.
No, I don't think so either.
But I think maybe that's because I'm more tuned to that, so I don't think I would have assumed that. I would have just assumed you were an international kid, which is what you are. So so yeah,
Mrs. Worldwide. Actually, I wanted to, I don't know if this is too personal, but like, why did you decide to go to Belgium instead of Taiwan with your mom?
It is a bit personal, but like, long story short, is kind of like, my dad has always been stereotypically, or as the stereotype goes, I mean, the financially stable one. And thus, yeah. So.
So.
Like, and also, like,
how old were you? Like,
I was 14 or 15, I always forget, but yeah.
Okay, so at 14 you were already like, this is the most rational decision to make. Like,
you know, yeah, it wasn't easy, especially because at the time I was living with my mom, and so I had to tell her to her face, like, because to her it was more so, I mean, to both of them it was more so choosing parent over situation. Like, to them it was more for which parent did I love more, which is not the case, but that's how the decision was translated. And I had to tell my mom to her face, oh, I'm going to my dad's. Mm-hmm. But it was also like the other factors. I mean, I already spoke Mandarin, but I didn't know how to read or write at all. But that's so much more like tiresome than to learn a new language that uses a Latin script. And so I was like, fuck it, I want to learn Dutch instead. Mm-hmm. Because I already know the ABCs. It's a Germanic language. Like, not that to say that it was easy for me per se, but I still think to this day it was easier for me to attend high school in Dutch starting from scratch than it would have been for me to completely learn all of Chinese reading and writing.
Scripts,
and try to attend that. Yeah, and try to do that. So it was also part of the reason. I could also bring my dog with me to Belgium and not to Taiwan. Which I'm not going to lie was a really big, really big thing for me since I don't have any other siblings. I mean, I say other siblings as if she was my sibling, but I mean, that's basically how I saw her because I didn't have any siblings.
Yeah, of course. I understand.
So that was a big thing for me. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, to be honest. So, fuck, I forgot. I lost my track, my train of thought. Okay, so you moved to Belgium, and like, did you ever feel? You said that it was a protective layer for you to say that you're American. Like, why do you feel like it was more? Like, you could have said you're Belgian as well, or you could have said, well, people were excluding you based on.
Yeah, there was no way. I don't. Okay. I mean, it'd be really interesting to ask people now.
Yeah.
Well, maybe also I've already been here for a few years, so maybe they would be more inclined to, but I fairly doubt anyone would ever see me as Belgian.
Yeah.
I mean, someone in Belgium, which is interesting because for the first time in my life, other people called me Belgian when I went on Erasmus last year. So that was when I was like 22. So the first time in my 22 years of existence, other people started calling me Belgian, but that was because I was on Erasmus in another country and I'd come from Belgium. And so their easiest point of reference of understanding was, oh, yeah, you're Belgian, especially because there was a girl in the group who was American who came from America. And so that was the first time I'd ever been labeled Belgian. And that was a shock for me. I remember journaling about that, for example. I was like, these people.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I get you.
Yeah, and it's not like I particularly mind, but it's just weird because I mean, I guess I do mind. It's just I've been outed for so long. I've been in such an out group by these people.
Yes.
But it's weird that all of a sudden these other people are going to be like, "Nah, you're that group," and it's just like,
it's a bit insulting.
Yeah, I mean,
for me, personally,
yeah, for me, it's not really insulting because it's also it would be kind of internalized hatred if I said that, and I don't think I feel that either because I am half Belgian. For me, it's a bit different. It's not really insulting, but it's kind of just like makes me feel uncomfortable. But I don't think it's really insulting per se. But it's just weird. It's just weird. Yeah,
it's strange that like other people. I feel like okay, so maybe this is a good time for me to get my backstory straight, because So like. My parents are both Turkish, like complete, like my entire family is Turkish, but I was born and raised in Germany, so I'm like first generation born immigrant, like born outside of their home country immigrant child. And so for me it was always really, I feel the same way in the sense as you, because when I was growing up in Germany, it was always like I am the other person.
Right, you're the other. You know?
I'm always the other. I'm the non-European. I'm like the Turkish girl. I'm the Muslim girl. Like I was always the outsider, and no one ever made me like I was born there, and I mean I have birthrights like a German passport, right? But I have never felt German when I was in Germany, and I still don't feel German ever. Like that's. When people call me German, I'm like, no, I am not German. Leave me alone. Because people made it clear to me that I will never be seen as German based off my ethnicity. And so I personally find it very insulting when people are like, oh, you're German. I'm like, no, I am literally, I am not. Like culturally, from my ethnicity wise, like I am... not even European, so I don't like what are you saying, you know? And like I think why like one of the reasons why I find it so like insulting is because not because being German is a bad thing, like that's not what I'm trying to say, it's more like
no, but you were outed by those very people, so
exactly. So I feel like when people say that I am German, it just kind of erases the fact that I was outed, like I was casted as
you know
what I mean, and also and that actually also only happened when I moved, like it was the first time that I was called German when I moved to Belgium basically, and which made me cling on to my Turkish identity even more actually.
I get that.
It's just so interesting to me that we let other people define us, but I guess that's what it is at the end of the day, because that's what shapes you, right? Like that's your environment shapes your identity, I feel like. And I think you know what I mean? Like, I mean, my parents played a big part in my identity because they always made sure that I remember where my family comes from, what my heritage is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is also why I spent all of my until I was 18, I went nowhere but Turkey and Germany, because my parents would always send me to Turkey to my family during every Easter break, during every summer break, like Christmas, whatever. And they would always also make sure that I also know that, you know, we're like, this household is Turkish. Like, we're not like these white people, you know? So there was always, of course, also clashing with me, because I was like growing up in, for me, a mixed environment, right? Because I'm getting the Turkish influence from my parents. Right. But at the same time, all of my friends were European. Like, most of them were German, or like half German, half French, or whatever. So, and my ex-boyfriend, he was also German. So I'm like, you know, I have all, like, I am like this, I'm trying to like navigate, and me and my parents clash a lot because of that, because they're like, no, we're not in our household.
No, but that's a common thing, which we've talked about recently, but maybe just to define for like everyone else. So it's interesting, because you wouldn't think it's very common, because there's not a lot of people like this who tend to get together. But throughout the world, there's a lot of people who can be defined as third culture kids, which are then people who generally are from immigrant families. And thus, at home, they have the home culture, which is the culture of their parents, or the culture of where the parents are from. And then the kid also has then the culture of the host country. And it's called third culture because they've created their culture. Yeah. Which is a mix of both the home culture and the host country culture. And one common thing is that there's a lot of home issues, because there's this like cultural. So there's not only a generational clash, which generally just happens as growing up as a kid, and there's also this cultural clash that you don't expect from your own, like, you know, blood and bones, you know, like it's surprising. But that's a very general thing that happens.
It's interesting to me because, like, you know, you're trying to navigate your expectation, like the expectations from your family and versus the expectations from all around you. You know what I like, the other outside environments, because, you know, my parents, they wanted me to be this Turkish girl that, like, you know, that they people that, you know, a daughter that is like the other Turkish daughters that they have seen and the way that they have grown up with. But then at the same time, this is, I think, universal, no matter if you're growing up in your home country or not. Because, I mean, obviously people are, you know, children are not always what their parents want to be, like, to be. But it's like an extra layer, because you're trying to please your parents with, and you also don't want to lose your, I mean, for me at least, I feel like there is different, like, I have met people also who completely reject their home, like their home culture, you know. But for me, it was like, oh, of course, I want to retain my heritage. Also because I was rejected from the other group, so this is the only thing I have. But then at the same time, I was also trying to fit in with the other group, like, you know, to say like, oh, we are progressive, like, we, you know, I also have European values, you know, I have European morals, and like as if those are superior than other places. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. But
you have to do what you can do to fit in, right?
Like, the thing is, I sound so ungrateful. Like, I am actually really happy to have grown up in Europe, because of course my views have been shaped by my environment, and I don't think I would be as outspoken about certain topics as I am now if I had grown up somewhere else. But at the same time, it's just always so belittling, because you always have to defend part of yourself, right? Like, at home, you have to defend.
Yeah, you're never good enough. Yeah.
Yeah, on either side. Because I had people come up to me being, like, asking the most stupidest questions, like, why are all Muslims why are all terrorists Muslims? Or, like, why are you not wearing a hijab? Or, like, why are you, all of these.
Of the group. Yeah.
Exactly. And, like, you know what the stupidest thing was, like, when, because Germany is really into football, so, like, when there was a football match against Turkey, and, like, I remember one year we lost, like Turkey lost to the German team, and people were like coming to me the entire day, and they were like,
"Bro,
who the fuck cares?"
No, I've had, this is so funny. I didn't know, but because I've had the exact same thing. Because in the World Cup, Belgium played the U.S. and then USA lost. The amount of memes I got, but not only like just on social media, but people were also messaging me like on my phone. I was just like all channels, like text messages, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I was like, can y'all shove it? Oh, wow.
Why does it matter? Yeah. I don't know. Like the pity, like the pettiness. I'm just like,
yeah. I remember I had exact same story. Wow. Amazing.
Why is this a universal thing? I don't understand.
It's just one point of reference.
Bro, like Europeans and their football, I swear to God. Anyway. Oh, sorry, soccer. Oh, God. It was so annoying. But anyway, so like, it's just so like, you know, and I have the same problem on a grand, on a bigger scale because, you know, in Germany, I was never German enough. And but then when I go to Turkey, I'm also not Turkish enough. Like, know that I have grown out outside of Europe because, you know, I don't wear, like, there were certain social standards that I don't fit because I am actively, like, pushing against them. And I also, like, they're also not necessarily confirmative in Europe, but in Europe, it's much more common to see that non-conformity in certain areas, you know? Because it's a much more individualistic society and culture compared to the you know, where people are more have a group thinking. So yeah, like when I say, if I tell someone in Europe, like a European lady, like older lady, I don't want to have kids, she will probably be like, like, are you sure? Or like, it's gonna change when you're older. But if I tell my grandma I don't want to have kids, she's like, I don't want to hear that. You're not saying that.
Give
me the death glare. So like these kind of things, it always make me feel like an outsider on both sides. And that kind of, I don't know if you feel the same way. Like, I don't know if you have you, like, I feel like in America, did you feel like you belong more in America than you did in Belgium, for example, or when you go to Taiwan? Like, is there a place that you feel like you belong to?
I definitely don't fit in Taiwan. I can tell you that. I mean, I've been and stuff, but like, I definitely, I am definitely just a tourist passing through. And even within my own Asian family, like, they call me out all the time for not knowing things. I have two biological cousins. On my mom's side, and one is like 30 years old, and I've seen him once in my life. And then I have one who's a year and a half younger than me. But she's full Asian. And so they also have like Chinese TV at home, and she learned how to, which is okay, kudos to her, but she learned how to read Chinese through the captions. So she just like taught herself. Yeah. Just like through visual memorization, which, okay, cool. But, and I'm constantly compared to her as to how I'm not Asian enough. And it's like,
bro, that one cousin that sets all the.
I know.
This is like my cousin's going to Ivy League schools. I'm just like, why did you do that? Did you really have to do that?
But yeah, whenever I talk to anyone in that family, that's literally one of the first things they throw in my face. Oh, she can do that. Or, oh, you don't know what that means? Well, she would know how to do that. It's like, well,
that's so annoying.
And in general, yeah, I just feel, I mean, there's a whole different family dynamic in that as well. So that's maybe also part of it. But so there, no. In Belgium, I can blend in with the Flemish kids for a bit. But not, I don't blend in Brussels very well or the South because I don't speak any French, so that facade is completely just shattered within like 2 seconds. But I can make do with the Flemish kids. But the thing is like, I often feel right away like I'm just hyper aware of my Dutch because I struggled a lot to learn it. Yeah. And it's very much so, that learning process is very much so linked to a very heavy time in my life. And so I almost never can confidently speak in Dutch. And so whenever I have to, I just feel like my physical energy just shrink, and I feel like I'm just a different person if I have to speak in Dutch, which sucks, but is what it is. I mean, I think a lot of it is just in my head, but that doesn't make it go away any easier. But I digress. But the longer I stay out of the US, the less I'm perceived as American as well, though. But it's weird. It also depends on the American. Like, some Americans I've met are very like, oh yeah, USA, say you're from America. Come on, Lisa, America. And then it's just like, okay. And I've had that like two or three different times while like on exchange or with other international kids, like Americans who came here. But I had then once one of those kids who was like, yeah, Lisa, say you're American, say it with your chest. And I was like, okay. And then he found out I wasn't actually born in America. And he
was like, oh, no.
So you're not American? I was like, bruh.
It reminds me of that Vine.
What?
Hey,
I'm a lesbian?
I thought you were American.
That brings it to an interesting point, actually, which is so when people want to dive in more to me, they're like, no, what are you really? And I'm like, fine. So my mom is this, my dad is this, and I grew up here. Nah. And they're like, okay. But they cause that's really hard for people to like understand that I could be divided into three. And so they still have to find like an anchor point. So they're like, okay, fine. Tell me this. Which passport do you have? Because for some reason that legitimates something. But it's like, haha, fuck you, I have all three. So nice fucking try. It doesn't clear up anything. It's still three options, like I fucking explained. So it's weird. People try to reach for different things, like where I was born versus what passports I have versus how many years I lived where. It's a lot of – I mean, it is what it is, right? People have to – people learn by association, and they're just trying to categorize me somewhere, which is how human beings learn, but yeah. So –
I guess.
I know. I mean, yeah.
So there's like two things I think are very interesting with that, because one, how do we like, what makes it legitimate, you know? Because you have, so I mean, for me personally, like I am ethnically, I am ethnically Turkish. But, you know, some people are now trying to tell me I'm German because I also have a German passport. I also have both. So I have a Turkish passport and a German passport. So some people are like, oh, but you were born in Germany, so you're German. And I'm like, but I don't feel German at all. Like, I have no connection to Germany or German culture or whatever. So, and then you have like, so for me, so I don't understand, like, actually, how do we identify? Like, what makes it legitimate? Like, I mean, obviously, I am the only person who can. It should be my right to say what I am and what I am not. But then, like, it gets more complicated when you have people who are not ethnically, like, from somewhere, but then they have maybe grown up there during their formative years or spent some time abroad. Like, I had friends who are, like, French, Belgian, but then they, you know, grew up in India for some part or, you know, or in Shanghai, and then they felt like, okay, but for me, that's part of who I am as well, you know, because I learned from the culture and blah, blah, blah. And then, or, like, people who, we also know someone who is Dutch and who grew up in Malaysia, I think, was it right? And so, like, are they like, I mean, I don't want to say aloud because we're not the fucking ethnicity police, like, but you know what I mean, like, is there like Kim, how do I phrase this question?
It's tricky, you know?
Because I don't want to I don't want to police anyone because I don't have a right to say because I don't know their experience, and I cannot, like, I will never know their experience because that's their life and they have lived through it. But at the same time, there's also this whole thing where, like, you know, colonization and like colonizing history and also, like, you know, 2 years ago, I think the whole cultural appropriation talk started, and that made it even more complicated for some people. And so, like, where do we draw lines? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think there's any clear-cut answer.
No, I don't think so either.
I think, but it's hard to realize this. And these type of people are going to feel very attacked by this, but it is what it is.
You're controversial on this podcast.
Especially Caucasian people have to really realize the privilege they get in these, it literally everywhere in the world. Like, even they'll be like, oh yeah, but like I've dead ass heard someone be like, oh, and they were American and they were white, and they're like, oh, but I was a minority in Peru.
Oh yeah. Oh,
if you don't fucking shove it, bro. Anyways, we don't recognize that the color of your skin gives you privilege no matter where you are. Being a white person, that's already a huge, like, if you don't realize how much that also shaped your experience in that country, regardless of whether or not you called it your home, then I'm not here for it. Because a lot of international and then especially white kids or fair-skinned kids get away with not assimilating because they're seen as, you know, in the racial hierarchy as better than the locals. And so they get away with speaking with posh English and with their nice clothes and their European style and their European features. So they get a different treatment. And if you can't recognize that, but you will claim the local culture, I'm not here for it.
I think this is a very interesting point that you're making, because assimilation, I think, is very important in this case. If you're not, if you're not really, like, if you are just taking the local culture pretty and it looks pretty, but you're not really integrating in that sense, while, you know, other skinned people come to Europe and they're expected to integrate, that's already a huge difference, I think. And that's, I think, what it's a bit icky sometimes when other people try to claim other cultures, you know?
Yeah.
But then again, I'm not going to deny someone's experience. I'm not going to say, like, no, you're not, you know, because that's not my place either. Except that one lady who said she feels black. That was a whole.
Oh, thing. That I know exactly what you're talking about.
Her name, because I was like, who thinks like that? But anyway, that's a whole other issue. But other than that, I think that's a very good point you're making, because, you know, dark skin, more like, or other skinned people are expected to integrate and always tone down their otherness. Well, I feel like white people or Caucasians are encouraged to be more white, especially when they're not in when they're in they're Asia or in the Middle East. Which is, you know, a double standard, and we're not here for that. So
I just wanted to say, like, real quick, an interesting, like, a really interesting, let's say, case study is one of my closest friends is, so biologically, let's say, he's Brazilian Belgian, but his father is no longer in the picture, starting when he was, like, in his preteens, I think. And he was born in Angola, moved to the Philippines, spent the majority of his growing up years. So I think he did his high school in Panama.
Okay.
Then moved to Amsterdam, moved to Myanmar, and then now is doing college in the UK. Listen.
Wow.
And so he has a younger sister who's a close friend of mine as well. And she was born in the Philippines and then follows the same trajectory, except minus Angola. But and what was really, really interesting to me is because my whole life, if I had to identify with a race generally, it was Asian. So, I mean, I normally say I'm mixed. But if I'm classified as anything, generally because of this white versus non-white, polarization we have in the world due to, I'm generally classified as non-white, thus Asian, or Asian, thus non-white. But because they had moved around so much, and they were often in countries where they were the lighter skin, and because their father, who was the person of color, was no longer in the picture, they identified as white, which was the first time I've ever heard a mixed person identifying with the lighter color. Not only due to, like, the parents and what happens with the one parent being gone, because, I mean, in other places, if you have a black parent and that parent is no longer in the picture, you still identify as black generally, especially in the US. I mean, the US is also very extreme in that sense. But then also just because of where they were always the lighter skinned people. And that was, for me, also so weird. And it was weird to me because they'd also never in their life lived in Belgium, but they still identified as Belgian. And for me, that was a really hard pill to swallow, because I was like, nah, I know real Belgians. They'd be boring as fuck. Y'all not like that. And they were like, no, no, we are Belgian. I was like, no, no, let me tell you. And then it was a big learning lesson for me to be like, what matters more is kind of like how the people feel, and just to listen to what they identify as, and to just respect and like acknowledge that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly. I think this is such an interesting point, because especially in as you said, in America, I think mixed children, especially of like Black Caucasian mix, they usually really like hold on to their Black, like pointing, like for example, logic, you know. But yeah, anyway, so it's a good point that you're making, actually, because I think at the end of the day, like you don't know what they, you know, feel closest to. Because I know a lot of Turkish, I mean, I know Turkish kids as well that live in Germany. Not a lot, but, you know, there are some Turkish kids who feel more German than they feel Turkish, just because they got, like, they were actually estranged from their Turkish culture. That's usually what it is, like, in some way, like, maybe because the parents didn't speak Turkish at home, or, and then they just lost that part, or the parents didn't really, like, try to keep up the culture. They were just like, you know what, like we're in Germany now, so whatever, you know. Or maybe they're second generation. That's especially the case then, like, because people are not very like, especially in Germany, I feel like if you are middle class, you are trying to assimilate more with Germans than you try with Turkish people, because Turkish people who don't assimilate have been pushed, like, usually live in the ghettos, like, quote unquote, because they have been pushed there systematically, you know.
Yeah, for a period of time,
you know. So which is very, like, I mean, this is the thing, right? Like, people, like, a lot of Turkish people who assimilate with more Turkish groups are like, still, they feel the need to distinct themselves because they have been rejected by the other group. And that's also how ghettos are formed, right? Like, because people, like, you know, they, Turkish workers started coming to Germany in the 60s, and you know, with no, they didn't teach them the language, they, you know, they all put them in the same quarters. Like, of course people will flock together, you know, and then people are like, oh, why are you not integrating? You didn't do anything for them to integrate. Like, what do you mean? So
it's interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you can say your point.
No, I was just going to say, in my anthropology class in Leuven, my teacher was talking about, specifically in Belgium, after World War II, we had this whole, like, oh, we got to rebuild the economy and rebuild infrastructure, blah, blah, blah. And so we used first German prisoners, and eventually we had to return those because they weren't our people. And then it was like, let's import South Europeans. And so we had some Italians, and we had some Spanish, et cetera, et cetera. And then there was a lot of like, a lot of different things happened. But for example, there wasn't really good safety in the mines. And a lot of Italians, for example, died in a mine mine collapse. And so the Italian government was like, ah, no, no, from now on, none of our citizens are going to you. So then Belgium was like, fuck, what do we do? And so then they reached for Northern Africa. And they actually, because besides the fact that they needed someone to rebuild for them, it became more obvious that Europe wasn't reproducing as fast as it previously was, and that they needed people to be able to pay for the welfare of older generations. So not only did they then ask for Northern African immigrant workers, they also invited them, made brochures that showed how interesting it would be to bring your family with you. And then now,
same thing happens.
And it's now like, I mean, this is more so saying in America, but like chain migration. And it was like, in Belgium, y'all fucking encouraged it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
exactly. Yeah. This is so funny to me, because, you know, people are like, they kept complaining about especially, I mean, Germans, like, you know how Moroccans are in Belgium? That's kind of the way that people are seen in Germany. And which is not good, you know. And it's a whole struggle, because I'm like, I understand. So when I was younger, I always grew up with this whole integration talk. Like, I think integration is the word that I heard the most growing up, because people would be like, okay, this is going way too political, but anyway, it doesn't matter. people would always say that, like, Turkish people weren't integrating enough, because, you know, mm-hmm. would still talk our language, or like we wouldn't like respect German traditions or whatever, you know. Which I've never seen that personally. I'm not saying that there aren't people who are extreme, but that's everywhere. Like, you can't avoid mm-hmm. that there is always, you know, mm-hmm. Extreme idiots, which are like, you know, not even representatives of the country that they're from, you know. Like, people see mm-hmm. a group of people and they're like, oh yeah, this is what all, like, also another sentence that I have heard the most when I talk to Germans who went to Turkey, they're like, oh, it's so different, like, it's not like we have imagined it, like, the people are so different. And I'm like, what? Okay, how many Turkish people did you talk to in Germany? And like, the thing is, I understand, because my dad says the same thing. He feels like a lot of Turkish people in Germany are very different than the Turkish people in Turkey, mm-hmm. because they were forced. I mean, in my personal, from the observations that I have gotten over the years, is, in my personal opinion, it's because, again, people were, you know, pushed aside, and they were told, you are this other that we don't want mm-hmm. in the country. And mm-hmm. so people, of course, flocked together and assimilated with people who spoke the same language, mm-hmm. were from the same economic background. And so, you know, the cycle mm-hmm. continues, because people also stay in those groups, you know, because it's more, mm-hmm. It's easier to do that, you know. And there was this whole debate in like 2012, I think, or 10, I'm not sure anymore. I was in ninth grade. So I was 14. So 10 years ago. Yeah. So 2010. There was this guy. He brought out, it was a politician. I think his name was Zaratin. And he was actually from the social party, like from the social workers party. And he wrote mm-hmm. a book in which he described that Muslim and Turkish kids are dumber than German kids. Because less Turkish and Muslim kids get their baccalaureate compared to German kids. And, you know, because Germany has a system of, like, you can get either baccalaureate and, or, you know, the other, for you can go until, you can graduate after 9th or 10th grade to do an apprenticeship and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, he was just like, oh, causation, you know, without taking into account that, like, you know, that there's social factors and all of these things that push people push out of that zone, you know. And my politics teacher at that time, he believed that. He actually came into class, and imagine, I was the only, at that point, I was the only non-European immigrant child in my whole year, you know. And he comes in and he's like, yeah, I think he's right. And I was just there like, bro, I'm right here. And I was one of the, like, best students in class as well. And my father is a doctor. My mom is a business graduate. Everyone I know that is Turkish and lives in Germany was, like, either a business person, a doctor, lawyer. You know, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, and he even waved me off. Like, I raised my hand to say, like, that's, you know, BS. Like, that's not true at all. Like, my reality is completely different. And he was like, oh, you're an exception. Like, he didn't even let me talk. He just, like, waved me off. And he said, you are the exception. And that's exactly, like, that's the problem. Because in Germany, Turkish people are, like, you know, more civilized, or, like, more smart, like, everything in quotation marks. Or, like, you know, who are making it, you know, further than they're expected. Yeah. They're the exception. And that's exactly the kind of thinking that kind of pushed me away from assimilating with Germans in general. Because I'm like, I don't want you to think that, like, I am Turkish, just to be sure. Like, I am Turkish, but that doesn't mean that your expectations towards me, like, it's not the expectations towards me that make me Turkish or that make me not Turkish. It's more that, you know what I mean? I don't know how to wrap this up, but basically, it's just so annoying that, you know, I was always seen as this other thing, like, other, literally other entity, like an alien, you know? You know, I have groomed enough, like, quote unquote, to fit in if I wanted to, you know, like, I got a pass, like, I'm good enough to fit in the group, but I'm still not good enough to be called German, you know?
One of them, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, and now, so that's exactly why I also feel so strange when people call me German, because I'm like, I have never in my life felt German, because they always made clear that I am from this other group. And even when it came up that, you know, when they were like, Turkish people are like this and like this and like this, and I would be like, literally hear none of these things, you know? They would be like, oh, but you're different, but you're also different. Like, you know, it was always like, I, you know, what I mean, like, it's,
yeah, like exponential different, like, yeah, yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's just so annoying, because again, like, I was the representative of this whole group, which is doesn't make sense, first of all, like, you know. But I was also living in a very white city, to be honest, and also my school was very, very white, so yeah. It was kind of strange also to have this battle alone. And I honestly, I think that's also, again, one of the reasons why I clung on to my Turkish identity so much, is because I wanted to prove them wrong. You know, like, as in, your expectations toward Turkish people is that they're lazy or that they're dumber or whatever, you know? But I would, like, now whenever I go anywhere, I have this urge to be like, I am Turkish, but I'm also this, 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 this. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
No, it is. It is. It's just interesting, because what you see often the case, though, with youth, though, is that if those from a higher position continuously tell your whole life that you are not good enough because you are Moroccan, because you are Turkish, because you are from immigrant family, some of these people, not really, I mean, maybe to a certain extent believe it, but it's more so, well, why don't I drop out since you don't expect anything better from me anyways? And if I drop out, no one's going to care. And if you drop out, I just fulfill what you think I'm going to do. And you know what? Fuck you. I want to drop out because you don't care about me anyways.
Yeah.
And so it's this narrative that pushes each other where for certain people, it just tumbles and snowballs into something bigger. and it further then also creates this gap between for example, the locals and immigrants, because, you know, they're constantly pointing fingers, and then they're like, well, you're always going to point your fingers at me, then fine, I will go be that, and fuck you, I'm just not going to deal with you at all. So yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that was a big part of the integration talk when I was growing up. So, you know, people were like, oh, Turkish people are not integrating. But at some point, you know, there was a point in my life where it was actually like agreeing with those people. I was like, yeah, like, we're shitty. Like, I understand why people would hate Turkish people, because I formed this opinion of, I was like self-hating. Yeah. But I was like 14. Like, I started when I was 14, I think, like when that first, book came out, actually. And then by the time I was 16, I was already like, also agnostic, like, I wasn't Muslim, because I didn't want to be assimilated with that group. Like, I didn't want to be grouped with social group as well, you know, because I was like, there's too much pressure, people are always questioning me about things, and I, like, I'm sick and tired, you know. So but at some point I was like, wait a minute, like, why do we have to, like, why are we the only ones who are supposed to make an effort? If you're not putting in a system to actually integrate people who you asked to come here, you know, what are you expecting? Like, I'm not saying that, obviously, like, both sides have to make an effort. I'm not saying they're, you know, effort, like, it's obviously a two-way street, but I'm just like, you cannot just be like, oh, they haven't integrated, and then just like step away from the entire process and be like, oh, like, you have never, like, now they're offering language classes and all this stuff, but when the first migration started, you know, just one last point. There's even a movie about that called Almanya. It's a German produced movie, but it's produced by Turkish Germans, you know. Very interesting. Like, it's exactly about that. It's about one family that moved to to Germany during that time. And about their life struggles. And there you can see that, like, no one was really paying attention to them as humans. It was just like, oh, yeah, they're coming here, and then we're going to send them back once they don't have any use anymore for us. But people stayed because they made this their home, you know? So blaming them solely doesn't really, is not right, because you, you're supposed to make sure that people who come here have the opportunity to integrate. So, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what I was going to say is, like, now there is indeed more and more infrastructure for them. But what doesn't help, though, is that if the common people, so I believe the people who would teach them and stuff, or I would like to hope, are like social workers and stuff, and they have a certain level of understanding of these people's backgrounds. But if the general society that you're living in doesn't accept you, you're also not going to be very receiving of the host country either.
Yeah, exactly.
There also, it also requires a societal change.
Exactly. No, I absolutely agree. Which brings me to my other point that I wanted to make, was that, you know, like, you cannot expect, you know, at the time when I was in high school, Turkish people have been around for 50 years. And our curriculum, we never even talked about, okay, first of all, we never talked about that migration in history class, because that would have been maybe useful and interesting to cover, you know. Secondly, I was in a good school, you know, I was in a public school, but I was in like a German, one of the best schools in my city. But and then secondly, also never talked about Islam, only in the context of terrorism. And I'm like, of course, like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, on one hand, I was obviously annoyed that kids would, you know, come up to me and be like, you know, but I'm also like, they don't know any better, because all that they see and hear is this negative image of Islam, because also in the news back then, like, it was always Al-Qaeda, you know, and then also in school, people are like pushing this agenda of like, yeah, Islam is bad, like, you know. And I had, which is really funny to me, because I had ethics class, and we took every religion. Like, I learned about Christianity, I learned about Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism. Not one, not 1 minute was spent on Islam. I'm like, it's one of the three world religions. I'm like, how did we not do that? And I'm only starting to realize these things now. But obviously that also shapes a society, like you said. Like, I think, and again, this is one of the reasons why I think education, like, that's where it starts, because even if the parents at home are you know, xenophobic or Islamophobic or whatever, at least at school you should have the opportunity to learn about these things in an environment that fosters like kind of a, like, as objective as possible, you know, where you learn to critically reflect on these things, you know what I mean? Like, because now I am
done, but it should be done. Yeah,
no, exactly. So I think that's also one of the, but I think that's one part of integration. If you're saying like, okay, like, we have all of these, we have this biggest like minority, like, I think we're one of the biggest minorities in Europe, like in Germany, and you're not even teaching like the next generation about it. You know, and at this point, we're like 50 years in. This is already two generations too late.
Like, what did you expect?
Yeah. What are you expecting? Like, you know, because then again, as you said, there is a cycle. Like, we're distancing ourselves from them, and they are distancing themselves from us, because they don't understand, and we don't want to explain all the time. So, yeah, it's so annoying. But again, like, I'm not saying, the thing is, I don't want to sound ungrateful, because I know that I had a lot of privileges and advantages growing up in Europe. And I'm very, very, like, I'm very aware of that. But at the same time, I'm just like, sometimes I wish it was just easier. Like, you know, like, I would just have, you know, grown up in Turkey and wouldn't have been so self-conscious about who I am, you know? But yeah. We don't, before we end, there's one last thing that I wanted to point out, because, you know, because of this cycle, I feel like there is this, we have this need to distinguish ourselves, because other, you know, on one side, because the other group is pushing us to do that as well, you know. And then for me, at least, there was this, and I think that's how you felt maybe in high school, that you were like, oh, I am American, like, I'm, you know, y'all don't understand me. And that's how I was. And I think this, for me, this continued when I moved to Belgium, because I also, like, all of my friends are, most of my friends are POC, right? And so for me, it was even more important to hang on to that, like, quote unquote, otherness for a while, because whiteness, or like Europe, or white, let's call it whiteness, was shamed in these groups, you know, like as soon as you were a little bit European or white, or like as soon as you showed it, like, you know, interest in something. Yes, thank you. Like, you're, you know, people in immediately, like, the immediate reaction is like, oh, like, stop being so white, like, or like, and then people making fun. And it like goes to a point where I had friends who are also mixed, that they would reject their white side completely because they felt so uncomfortable with that, you know.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
yeah. So I don't know if that's also not, that's also, I feel like, counterproductive, because the point is not that we are not European either, like, you know, or that we're not white either, because at the end of the day, you grew up here, like, I mean, or you lived here for a while at least, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So of course the environment will have an influence on you. Like, how sad would it be if I wouldn't right. have some European influence, you know? Because that means I would have been living in a bubble, and I wouldn't have been like, I wouldn't have been open to the experiences around me.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, so I'm like, why are we, like, that's so, like, it's just also frustrating, because you feel like I would have felt like in a group where people are POC, but they have similar experiences, it would be easier to not have to constantly distinguish yourself, or like constantly put on this act of otherness, but then...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean obviously.
To a certain extent, I do also understand, because, especially for me, for example, not only am I only half, quote unquote, Asian, Asians are higher in the hierarchy of race.
Yeah.
And so the racism that, if I even do, let's say the racism that my mother experiences is much more different than every African, for example, in Brussels would experience.
Of course.
So to a certain extent, I do get it, though. I get what you're saying, but also, like, on the other side, I also get...
You get the other reaction.
To a certain extent, why they even question it, for example. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand as well, because I'm guilty of this as well. For sure. Like, because I was like, you know, this is also one of the reasons I reject my German... passport so much, you know, or but at the same time, I think last year I kind of started realizing, like, because I have friends who are mixed, who feel very, like, sometimes attacked by other people in the group to be quote-unquote white, or, like, you know, what does that even mean anyway? Like, I mean there's certain things, obviously, and I understand that. I also understand that you don't want to assimilate with the group that has treated you like shit forever, you know? But at the same time, I'm like, I just wish that there was one group where we could just exist, you know, like, and there is no expectation towards you to act a certain way, and you're not shamed to act one way or the other. It's just that you are a product of whatever you grew up with, you know, and so I don't know, like, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, I'm, you know, joking is fine. I think there is, you know, there is, again, time and place and all of these things, you know, but at the same time, I'm just like, why are we shaming people for drinking pumpkin spice lattes? Like, there's more important things. I mean, I've never had one, but you know what I mean? Like, if someone is acting white in the sense that, like, that they're self-hating, you know what I mean? That's a whole different topic, I feel like. If you're, like, trying to assimilate so much to please white people.
Rejecting.
That's a whole other issue. I think that's definitely toxic to
them. That's not what we're talking about.
No, yeah, exactly. That's not what we're talking about. Right, yeah. Like, so there's also always this balance, right? Like, where do we draw the line? At what point does it become rejection of your own culture, like, you know? So it's just, I don't know, it's so complicated.
Yeah. And it's also especially hard. It's very, like, yeah, it depends also on the case, right? Because it's very hard to make, like, a generic idea, because there's so many different people who moved at a different time, or who have a different parental background, or have, you know, there's so many different factors that it's really hard to distinguish, like, how do we go about this, you know? Because every single person's story is so different sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah, and there's also this whole pressure of, you know, the fact that we're always making the West the standard, like it's supposed to be the moral standard and you know, yeah, moral and political, economical, like it's supposed to be quote unquote better than the rest of the world. And I think that also plays into that because I don't want to make like you know, it's on one hand I acknowledge the fact that I do appreciate the fact that I grew up in Europe because I know this has given me other opportunities. But on the other hand, I don't want to say Europe is better than the Middle East because, you know, like, of course, there is advantages here that I wouldn't have had there, but that doesn't mean that everything in Europe is great and like the entire system is, yeah, or better, yeah, you know? So there is also this inner struggle that I have. Like, I'm just like, reject the West, you know, reject the people who are destroying every like the middle, I mean especially the Middle East, you know, like the entire Middle East is fucked up because America and the Brits are keep fucking shit up. But yeah, so there's also that, you know, that inner conflict where I'm like, should I say that? Should I not say that? Like and am I Turkish enough? Like is this, am I assimilating too much to this group? Am I not assimilating enough? Or, you know, and there's always this pressure to prove myself to be worthy on both sides. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. For me, what was very interesting is because I went to like local quote unquote schools up until I went to
Yeah.
university. So even in the US, it was a predominantly white area, but my high school was like 40% African American.
Yeah.
But I mean, that doesn't mean Asian or Eurasian or whatever the fuck I'm
Yeah.
supposed to be categorized as. For me, it was the first time when I came to Brussels to study, and I saw all these other kids who were also like racially and ethnically and whateverly confused, or not clear or ambiguous, let's say.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. I can just accept you for what you say you are, and you can just accept me for who I am, and we can just roll with that.
Yeah.
I am so here for
Yeah.
this. And it was just great,
Yeah.
like, because everyone was from everywhere. There was a lot more understanding or like openness because I wasn't stuck with fucking
Yeah.
local kids who only had one way of thinking, one way of eating, one way of speaking. And so for me, that
Yeah.
was the first time that I was like, wow, I'm not alone. Which is ironic because in an international environment, literally everyone is different. And so it was weird to find my in-group being where everyone is different.
Yeah. You felt more
I mean,
connected to that
in-group
group
is
where
very
everyone.
intense, but
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, it's not really my in-group because yeah, we're all fucking different. So
Yeah.
again, it's not the same effect as another person's quote unquote
Yeah.
in-group, but yeah.
Yeah. I think it goes back to what you were saying that like culturally what was it? Third culture kids?
Yeah, third
Right?
culture kids, yeah.
I think that we're all just confused in the same way because we're having, I mean, our experiences are different, but the confusion is kind of similar.
We have the same like level of understanding.
Yeah, which is why, like, for example, subtle Asian trades, like groups like that exist, and people from all, like, literally from East Asia, from Southeast Asia, like, even people from the Middle East, they're like, yeah, we get you. Like, you know, we're all having the same experience, like, growing up somewhere else than our culture. And that's so, yeah, I think that's just a universal feeling of, and a universal struggle as well.
But it's just so interesting is that it is universal, quote unquote, but
Yeah.
while growing up generally, I mean, I think it's maybe changing more and more as globalization takes over more and more.
Yeah,
But
for sure.
for our generation and younger, I mean older, but even still now, because we're not completely meshed together, but it just is so hard growing up because you don't have that yet. You don't.
Yeah.
It's only when you go to university and you have access to internet that you're like, oh, there are other people who are just as confused as me.
Definitely,
But
yeah. For sure. For sure. Like, there was yeah, I think that's I think for my I'm very happy for my siblings because they are going to an international school. like a private school.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My parents were like, we're not making the same mistake again. They saw how much I was struggling. Yeah. So, yeah. So they were like, we're not making the same mistake again. And I am very happy because I can already see. I mean, I'm also kind of sad because I can see the Americanization of my siblings on one hand. But on the other hand, I'm like, at least. Yeah. Because the school is bilingual. So it's German American. Or German English.
I mean, in general, internationalization is Americanization, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, anyways. Definitely. Yeah. So on one hand, I'm, you know, worried. But on the other hand, I'm also like, at least they're surrounded by other children that have the same, you know, international. Mm. Or not the same, but like an international background.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting for them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's. Helps, I think, with their with their confidence as well. Yeah. All right. I could talk about this forever, but you have a paper to write.
I do.
Yes. And I don't want to keep you any longer, but this has been very interesting, and I think also very controversial. I feel like I said a lot of like things that I shouldn't have said, but it's out there now.
So. Always be edited out. Also, if you think I edit also like the whole story out, my friends, doesn't matter. They're not particularly relevant. You can do what you want, bro. It's your podcast. Come on.
No. I'm keeping. You know, I don't mind being a bit controversial. Like it's all about debates, right? It's all about discussion. I'm here to learn too. Not I don't want people to just take what I say for like this is the truth. You know, it's not. Obviously, I'm also here to learn. Anyway, so thank you so much for being here, taking your time. It was interesting as always.
Yes, I agree.
I will have you on more often, obviously. But yeah, maybe the Americanization thing after your.
Yeah, sounds great. Perfect. I'm down.
Or maybe another feminist episode with you. That would be great as well.
Look at us brainstorming. I'm ready.
We're ready. Tell us what you want us to talk about in the comments.
There we go.
There we go. Trying to reach out to the young people. No, I'm kidding. All right. So thank you so much. Thank you guys for listening. Mm-hmm. And stay sane, stay hydrated. Yes. Good luck with exams for those who are, and assignments for those who are in that stress right now. And we'll hear each other again next week. Bye.
Sounds great. Bye.